I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The NBA draft, it is finally coming up this week. It's on the 29th. It's on Thursday. And the Knicks have a couple first-round draft picks. What will they do? The strength of this draft. To break it down and talk about it, we bring in Ian Begley from SNY. He covers the NBA and hosts the Putback podcast for SNY.tv. Hey, Ian, how are you?
Lori, how are you?
I'm doing well. Let's start big picture with the Knicks and their overall strategy for this draft. Will they stay in place, or they have two first-round draft picks, they have a high second-round draft pick. Will they stay in place, or will they make trades this week? What do you expect of their strategy?
I think it depends on who becomes available. I mean, obviously, Damian Lillard, a lot of teams around the league are waiting to see what happens there. I think it's most likely that he does not request a trade before the draft. But if he does, teams like the Knicks are going to, you know, be having conversations with the Blazers. And if you're the Knicks, the Blazers probably don't even pick up the phone if you're not at least offering these first-round draft picks that you have, plus many more. So you start there with the draft. I mean, Bradley Beal is a player who could be available, be a trade before the draft. And then Colin Sexton's another player who another Knicks have some interest in. So kind of depends on where those discussions go prior to Thursday night. But if they head into draft night with their picks, I think there are scenarios where they could use one of those picks or one of those picks in a player to try to move up a little bit. I know they like some players who are pegged ahead of where they are at 19. Oregon's Chris Duarte is one player they had in for a solo workout late last week. I think there are a couple other players in the lottery, projected in the lottery, that the Knicks are fans of. So I think if they feel that they can get up there with a trade they're comfortable with, they would certainly consider it. I don't see them making all four picks. I mean, they're a team that is looking to win next year. Tom Thibodeau, a coach who traditionally does not play rookies a ton of minutes, so I can't see them carrying four rookies on this roster next season.
You mentioned Beal and Dame Lillard and Colin Sexton. And especially for, let's say, Beal and Dame Lillard as a starting point, for those two players, you would have to give up, as you said, you know, three, four first-round draft picks, plus some of the, you know, younger player, a couple of the younger players, let's say, that the Knicks were hoping to build around. There are a couple schools of thought that you commonly see people, you know, talking about strategically in the NBA, and there are those who would want to say, well, that's too much to give up. And then there are those who say the NBA is a star-driven league, and if you really want to contend for a championship, you have to have superstars. So where would you fall? You know, is there almost any price that's, you know, in your mind, is there almost no price that's too much to give up if you have a chance to get a Damian Lillard or a Bradley Beal?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I think if there are scenarios in play where you're giving up, you know, those picks, and all your young players, if there are scenarios after that trade happens where you know you can get another star player on your roster because Lillard or Beal attracts that star, and then you know that you can fill out the rest of the roster with capable veterans and you can put together a roster that you feel can compete, then it makes sense. But if you are gutting the roster, if you're the Knicks for Damian Lillard, and it leaves you with very few resources, if any, to put strong talent around him, then I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I'm sure if you're the Knicks and you're thinking through these scenarios, if you were talking about trading for Lillard, I'm sure you've thought about, you know, what moves come after that and what you can and cannot do. To me, it only makes sense, though, if you can could put a roster around Lillard that can help you compete in the East and ultimately for a title.
You mentioned the Knicks, you know, Tom Thibodeau, not a guy that we think of historically as wanting to give a ton of playing time to young players, did it to some extent with this past year's Knicks team. But given that, could you also see a scenario, maybe it's not for a superstar player being involved and available, are they possibly packaging picks for, you know, I guess that now we get to the Colin Sextons or to other, you know, what are you expecting is a most likely scenario? Are they packaging up a couple picks for a young veteran or somebody who's an impact player, but maybe not one of those superstars?
Yeah, I definitely see that as a potential scenario. I think it all depends on where the price lands on these players. You know, Cleveland, there were reports that they were asking teams to take on Kevin Love's contract if you're going to trade for Sexton. And to me, that's a tough spot for the Knicks because you want the cap space that Love's contract would eat into to pursue other players. So that to me would probably be a non-starter. But if the price ends up being like one of your picks and one of your young players, I mean, that's a different conversation. I think usually what happens here is the conversations go into Thursday, and it kind of depends on who blinks first. And none of these teams, whether it's Cleveland with Sexton, Washington with Beal, Portland with Lillard, are in a position where they have to make a deal. So I think they are in a position of strength here. And that's why I think it's most likely that the Knicks don't make one of those trades and they go into draft night with all their picks. I think most likely scenario is they use one of those picks to trade up a few spots and get a player that they like.
Talking to Ian Begley from SNY about the NBA draft. And so you mentioned Chris Duarte a moment ago, but what are some other names that Knicks fans should have be prepared and be thinking that the Knicks may end up with when they draft?
Yeah, I think Trey Murphy, the third out of Virginia, I know he played well when he worked out for them last week. And Trey Mann also played well from Florida. Isaiah Washington from Kentucky, a big guy. Anytime you're talking about Kentucky, there's always going to be speculation about this Knick regime because of Leon Rose, William Wesley, the ties to the program, Kenny Payne. But I was told that he is on their radar. And I think that you look at the other wings, I mean, you can go in a number of different directions, but Duarte is an older player. I think he's 24 years old.
Yep.
And so he would come into the league, you would think, as somebody who could help you, you know, immediately. And I think that's kind of where the Knicks would lean. They would lean with the older college player over the, you know, one and done freshman if all things were equal. And I think that's one of the reasons why they like Duarte.
For Knicks fans who want to dream about some of the other names that they're seeing a little bit earlier in this draft, what's the likelihood that they could package a couple of their picks, their two first round picks, and find a way to move up higher, maybe to the late lottery of the draft?
Yeah, maybe you could get to 14 in that real estate. Maybe you can get up there. I don't think they would do anything to get into like the top five because, again, I think their timeline doesn't align with like an 18-year-old, 19-year-old who you're going to want to put on the floor as much as possible, but play through mistakes. So again, you're looking at those older players. I really think the names that I mentioned earlier, I think are names that, you know, I think would be the targets even up there, because I think Duarte is projected to go near there. Trey Murphy as well. And then, you know, a player who may go a little bit later, but the Knicks also, I think, like is Quentin Grimes from Houston. Another player, 6'6", projects as a good defender, somebody who you could see Tom Thibodeau taking a liking to. So at that point, 19, 21, you can go in so many different directions. I think what it'll come down to is if there's a player they absolutely love and they know that he's going to be taken at 15, 14, or whatever, they would seriously consider moving up to get that guy. I can't tell you right now who they've zeroed in on, but it's going to be an interesting week for the Knicks and the rest of the NBA, that's for sure.
And when you look at this draft, you know, sometimes we look at it and we say the strength of a draft is in a particular type of player or position. What, you know, from the talent evaluators that you talk to, what's the strength of this draft?
Well, Cade Cunningham at the top is going to have the ball in his hands a lot, and I don't think anybody sees Detroit passing on him. But you look kind of deeper, and I think there's a lot of pretty good wings in the draft, like shooting guards, small forwards, guys who could maybe shift between both positions. You know, the players I mentioned earlier, most of them qualify except for Isaiah, kind of fall under that category. So I think that's where the depth is in this draft. So with the Knicks, like, you're going to find probably a wing that you like at 19 if you stay there. And the other thing is, there's not many teams that are in the market for point guards at high in this draft. So maybe there's a lead guard that falls in your lap. I mean, Jared Butler, Baylor, Sharif Cooper, Auburn. Maybe one of those players kind of falls in your lap at 19. And you know, if you're the Knicks, you've been looking for a point guard for the last 2 decades, stability at that position at least. So that's a position of need going into this offseason, whether they fulfill it via the draft, free agency, or trade, I'm not sure, but I would think that there's a quality guard prospect that would be available where they sit at 19.
Is there, from what you hear, the Knicks just signed their general manager, Scott Perry, to a contract extension. As the Knicks brain trust looks at this draft, have you heard, is there, you know, kind of different factions or, you know, whether it's Tom Thibodeau wants these sorts of players and front office or assistant GM or somebody or scouts want, you know, different types of guys? Are you hearing about any of that from the Knicks?
Well, the joke that you hear, and it's just a joke, I don't think it's true, but the joke that you hear about the Knicks is like, if it was Tom Thibodeau running everything, they wouldn't have any draft picks. But I think that's a little bit of a misnomer, because we saw last year with Emmanuel Quickley, he got plenty of playing time and he thrived under Tom Thibodeau. But, you know, this team coming off of a 41-win season, they're not looking to backslide, I don't think. So I think with where they are in the draft, I would assume there's a pretty wide consensus that you want to get a player who can help you in the short-term future, not somebody who's going to be a project and to be ready, you know, 4 years from now, because they're not on that timeline. They're looking to improve off of this past season. And so I would assume that that's pretty universal throughout the organization. There's always varying degrees of different opinions on a specific player. I think that's normal. I think that's healthy. But I would assume that if they make one of those first-round picks and it's worth a trade-up, it's for a player who's going to be able to help them pretty quickly and not a long-term project.
Speaking of needing players who can help you quickly, teams that are in win-now modes, the Brooklyn Nets certainly are a win-now team. What do you expect the Nets to do with their first-round pick?
You know, Sean Marks, he has a history of doing pretty well, and especially late in that first round. And when they, you know, in the second round, he has a history of nailing some picks throughout his tenure as Nets GM. But I wouldn't be surprised if that pick gets packaged in a deal that allows the Nets to shed some salary and give them a little bit more flexibility heading into the offseason, into the free agency period, maybe gives them a bigger exception to work with when you're cutting out signing free agents in the offseason. I think some teams expect the Nets to explore those avenues, just shedding a little bit of salary, giving Marks and Co. a little bit more to work with going into free agency. As far as who they would target, what position they target in the draft, you know, with the roster that they have and the depth that they had last season. I don't know. There's not one position that screams out, we need help at this position right now, and we're going to be able to get it at the position we're in the draft. I mean, obviously, you'd like a big, you'd like somebody who can help defend around the rim, but are you going to get that kind of player who's ready to help you next year at that position? I'm not sure. So if I was betting, I would bet that the most likely scenario is that pick gets used in a trade of some sort. But we'll see what happens. You know, teams are going to be on the phone plenty between now and Thursday evening, working through all different scenarios. And the Nets are no different there. I'm sure they'll be talking to plenty of teams trying to figure out what makes the most sense for them.
Last question before I let you go is, you had Kelly Oubre Jr. on your podcast as a guest this past week. And were you kind of surprised at how positive he sounded about potentially signing with the Knicks as a free agent, that some of maybe the perception has changed?
I actually wasn't that surprised to hear it, because I think, you know, younger players, they see what the Knicks did this year. And if you're a free agent this summer, not a lot of teams with cap space. And you look at one of those teams in New York as a team that, you know, has the money and is coming off a season where they appear to be on this upward trajectory. I wasn't that surprised. I mean, I would have been more surprised if the Knicks were coming off of a 15-win season and Kelly Oubre said what he said about the Knicks. But to me, it kind of matched up with what we saw the team do this season. And again, they're one of the few teams with cap space, so you take that into account too. But, you know, I know there are some people in the organization that are fans of Oubre, and I think he's going to garner interest from several teams around the league. He's one of the more intriguing free agents in this class because he's so young, because he has potential on both sides of the ball. I think with the Knicks, some of it probably depends on the Lillard piece or other pieces and what happens leading up to free agency. But there are some people within the Knicks that think highly of Oubre. So it'll be interesting to see how things progress after the draft as we get into free agency.
All right, we'll see. It finally is here, NBA draft this week. And if you want good stuff and covering the draft and following along, Ian Begley from SNY with his Putback podcast. Thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good, Lori. Take care.
All right. We'll be back with your calls. It looks like we've got some Yankees, some NBA draft, a little Mets, all that coming up. 877-337-6666. Be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.